drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
The CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday from 8 to 10 throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. You can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app, also in crystal clear HD on 100.3 HD2. And you can watch the show twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago and also on YouTube Live. You can dial it up on your television. Watch us right there on YouTube. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump on into the conversation. And Mike, we had a fantastic conclusion to the Masters last weekend. On Easter Sunday, it was all Jon Rahm. He played 30 holes of golf, and he was dominant from hole one all the way through hole 30. After weather tried its best to interfere and try to get us to a potential Monday conclusion. But boy, was that final Sunday at Augusta beautiful. And Jon Rahm was dominant on that entire Sunday.
Absolutely no question. And good morning, Tyler. Good morning, everybody at home. The Masters did not fail to please. It was, without question, one of the must-see TV in the world of golf for everybody. And the ratings proved it. Yes. As CBS discusses, we'll get into that, I'm sure, a little bit later. But it was about Jon Rahm putting himself back in as number one player on the planet. And did he not disappoint? He tracked down Brooks Koepka, started Sunday, the last round, four back, and ended up coming up on top and ended up winning, actually, by four shots over Phil Mickelson and Brooks himself. But Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed also right there at minus seven. They were kind of in the hunt, kind of in it. But hard to believe that we had three live players actually finishing the top five. But it was Mr. Rahm's day. And I think he became a new loved Spaniard, the fourth Spaniard to win. And I thought it was actually kind of cool when you start getting into the numbers. His caddy bib was number 49.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so Sunday, for those, if you look at the calendar, was 4-9. It was right. April 9th. And who was born on April 9th of significance, you know, from Spain is Mr. Seve Ballesteros. It would have been his 66th birthday. And so, like, everything that was supposed to happen did.
Right.
And it did in a way that I think pleased most of the golf ecosystem.
And you know what? We probably should have seen this coming. Like, coming into this event, we were talking a lot about, oh, Scottie Scheffler's been playing great golf. Is this Rory's time to break through at Augusta? But I think the fact that Jon Rahm had that little stretch where he didn't play in a few events, and I believe he was sick for one, and then he was just kind of getting his game ready after that. Like, it feels like we got a pause of Jon Rahm leading into the Masters, and it made people forget just how damn good he was leading in just to start off this season. Already with four wins on the year, he had that long stretch of top tens as well, seven top tens in the 10 events that he's played so far this season, and he had to withdraw from one of those events as well. Like, he has been dominant to start this year. And I feel like we kind of forgot about it a little bit leading in because Scotty was grabbing some headlines. Rory was all the buzz there. But it was always going to be Jon Rahm, it felt like, if you had seen and remembered how well he had played to open up this season.
Absolutely. And you can't forget about that because he was number one in the world by a lot. Mm-hmm. But just as you said, he got sick. And I'll tell you what, you know, take notice, PGA Tour, when Jon Rahm starts to not feel well, beware. Because he goes out, yes, and it's like Jon Rahm 2.0. We just saw Jon Rahm 3.0, because after what happened at Memorial, you know, during the COVID,
right,
he came back and ran on and went on another run, and it looks like he's doing the same thing. You would think this guy would go to Harbortown, go through the motions, kind of, but he is coming back after a tough first round, but he's right back in it again, you know, with a solid 65 yesterday. So this guy is so easy to love. You know, and for what he represented at the Masters, both, you know, being the fourth Spaniard to win, but to track down the villain. And I think sports needs villains,
yes,
needs that story, mm-hmm, that goes along with it. And this Masters had it all.
Right.
It just had it all.
It was great. And here's the one thing about Jon Rahm and sort of his legacy throughout golf. We've kind of seen a personality shift with Jon Rahm. He used to be, oh, the hothead Spaniard, throwing clubs, getting pissed off all the time. And full transparency here, I used to root against Jon Rahm because I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was hysterical to see him blow up on a golf course. But now he's kind of turned that corner where, for people like me, I love rooting for Jon Rahm now because he is this changed personality. He is this otherworldly golfer on top of that, and he is the world number one right now, and for good reason. And it's fun to watch him go out there. Like, people also, I'm not going to say forget that he four-putted on one, but he made that a complete footnote of his journey throughout the Augusta tournament this past weekend. Like, his run through the Masters, if you scratch his first hole off of his scorecard, he wins that thing by six strokes.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, and when you really look back at all the stuff he overcame, okay, first hole, four putt, double bogey. The old Jon Rahm, 1.0.
He's done.
He's done.
Yes.
And we all saw it early in his career. But this is where the maturity has started to come in and how he channels this sort of energy, the anger, the temper, but he's able to channel it now in a more positive way and to make that emotion work for him versus against him. And so he overcomes that.
Not only does he overcome it, he overcomes it in like two holes.
Oh, yeah. So right back, I mean, just it wasn't very long later into the round that all of a sudden he's not only in it, he's winning it. I mean, it's crazy to think that any golfer could have started off a major with a double bogey and by the end of it is leading. And then on top of it, he gets the worst of the draw as far as weather.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then he overcomes that.
We were talking about it last week when we saw on Saturday morning they were showing the stats. And I thought this was one of the most fascinating statistics of the entire weekend at the Masters was the early group, the group that got to go early on Saturday or on Friday and get the opportune weather was 18 over. All those groups were 18 over. The groups that were later and had to play through the rain and the wind and had to even play on Saturday morning as well through similar conditions, those groups were 88 over at the time and probably, when it all was said and done, probably closer to 93, 94 over. It was a tale of two kind of days and rounds that you could have at Augusta given with the weather conditions. And you're right, Rahm battled through that. And he not only was fighting the field, he was fighting the conditions as well. And he did it masterfully.
He did. And the other thing that he was patient. He didn't press the issue. He didn't force the issue too early and then make a mockery of a hole or make a gamble that comes up short. He just methodically plotted himself, and he knew how much time he still had left out on the golf course. And he let being in that, you know, inclement weather actually work to his advantage. So by the time Brooks had to then step into this thing, Brooks wasn't really ready for it.
Right.
Because he got the best of the draws. He played in nothing but great weather. He woke up on Saturday and had a late breakfast. And, you know, while, you know, the rest of the crew's out finishing, or on Sunday, I should say. And, he just overcame so much. And I think by coming, you know, overcoming so much, he became so beloved. I could just feel the love on television, the fans. Everyone wanted him to win.
Yes. And that's really telling for a guy who's completely turned it around. And listen, given you could tell that whatever distractions were out there, and boy, were there plenty out there in those final hours at Augusta. And when he does get to the second nine, like, there were all those distractions out there. He didn't let any of that mess with him. And like, there's the old adage, right? Like, you can't win a tournament on the first day, but you can lose it. And John Rahm, after one hole, looked like he was going to lose it. But just the maturity and the ability to kind of compose yourself. I mean, just looking at his round one, you know, he had a lot of really magnificent rounds. But his round one is probably the most impressive of it all. You talk about a guy who's two over through one, but by four, he's back to even. Birdie, birdie is the way he finishes it out. And by the time he is done with the first nine, he's three under. Mm-hmm. And for a guy who four putts on one and then he finishes the day seven under, tied for the lead with two others, it was a magnificent performance for him to rally out of that. And boy, he did not have a lot of bogeys over the course of his four rounds.
He really didn't. And, you know, for those who picked John Rahm, as he walked off the first green of the first hole on day one, if I would have told you, yeah, but he's going to shoot nine under over the next 17 holes, how about that? Mm-hmm. You would have said, no way.
No.
And he did it. And that just goes to show you the moxie, the you know, the perseverance, but the maturity. I keep going back to that because early on in his career, John Rahm would have missed the cut by a long stretch. In fact, he may have been the type of guy that probably may not have even made it to the cut.
Right.
He may have just said, you know what, my arm hurts, or I've got a stomach ache, or I'm not feeling real good about what I'm doing out here right now. But instead, he battled, and he battled like a warrior. And I also think that those years of playing Ryder Cup and under, you know, the toughest of conditions, I think he, in essence, leaned on that because, in a way, it became a match play event between he and Brooks, and he just put a bully beat down on him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation, by the way, this segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Bill is in Grays Lake. What's up, Bill?
Gentlemen, awesome show as always. Thank you. Enjoy listening and
thank
calling
you, Bill. In. Appreciate it.
Sounds like Bill's driving somewhere. Where are you going to go play?
Are you guys there?
Yeah, you got us, Bill?
Yep.
We lost Bill. It did sound like he was en route to a course there.
Bill, call us back because I want to know where you're going. You're obviously going to go play golf somewhere.
Yes. And boy, we've got a heck of a day here. I was looking bit at the forecast leading into this Saturday, trying to figure out, all right, am I going to be able to squeeze in around today? It looked like it was going to be a little dicey earlier in the week, but now, clear as day.
Oh, yeah.
Should be the nicest day of the year that we've had so far.
Have you put on as much sunblock yet in April, this April, than any other April thus far? I mean, it has been a full blown out like summer this week.
Right.
It's been spectacular.
Oh, man. Yesterday was amazing. It felt like you were at Augusta yesterday if you were out and playing. And I know there were a bunch of people out and playing just based on all the pictures you could see on social media and whatnot. But it was one heck of a week this week, and the golf scene is certainly alive and well right now, and looking forward to getting out there today. I know you're going to hit some balls today. You played yesterday as well, didn't you?
I did. I played in the evening, nine holes, put my little ear pods in, and just went out and dropped a few balls on each hole, worked on different things, and that is just my happy place.
Yes. Nothing bad about that. That's one of the best things to do. Just you drop everything, in go the headphones, and you've got the course to yourself. All right, let's try Bill in Grays Lake again. You got us this time, Bill?
Guys, can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you loud and clear.
Oh, I cannot hear you. I don't know why. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
I guess I'll try again next week. I just wanted to, I can't hear you, but I'll just throw my comment out there. I have two things. Rory, I'm just not a believer in him at the Masters anymore. Not making the cut is unacceptable for a world top player. And second, after a 2019 and a decline every year in viewership at the Masters, we saw Liv raise the bar with a 19% increase this year in the Masters. I think I'm happy for Rahm. Great guy, great player. He did what he had to do to win, but I just Brooks Koepka gave the Masters away to John Rahm. All credit to Rahm, but Brooks gave it away. Gentlemen, I cannot hear you, but thank you so much. I love the show. And yes, I'm going to go play some golf today.
I'm going to
Madison, and I'm playing some golf in Wisconsin.
All right.
Out there for the brunt. Thank you so much.
All right, Bill. There's Bill in Gray's Lake. So he couldn't hear us, but he got his thoughts across like that.
You know what? Bill's a professional.
Yes,
he's a professional call-in caller for
us. He knows the drill. Love it. I do want to talk about the LIV finish as well, because, boy, there were some guys charging at the end of this tournament, and it almost begs the question, who was the bigger winner from this tournament? Was it the PGA Tour who ultimately had the winner, or was it LIV, who was littered throughout the top 10 and the top 5? We'll talk about that when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. If you've got a thought, who was the winner, LIV or the PGA Tour at the Masters? 312-332-3776.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment is brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Talking some Masters, talking about John Rahm, his excellence down at Augusta, but also how about some of the excellence of the LIV golfers as well at the Masters. You look at the top five and you've got three of them there. Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, and Patrick Reed. Mickelson and Reed each making some charges on the last couple of days there. But I do want to start with one thing, because I know Koepka may be the bigger story in terms of, oh, we saw him in the final pairing. He was there down the stretch. He had a chance. But Phil Mickelson and sort of the mistreatment of Phil Mickelson by CBS throughout the tournament on that fourth round, where he goes 7-under and has one of the best rounds of the entire tournament, and it was just like he was kind of there.
Yeah.
He was on the pay no minds list, and that's what it looked like. And it really is sort of upsetting to see how Phil was treated.
Yeah, and especially by CBS.
Yeah.
CBS loved Phil Mickelson.
Yes.
Whenever Phil was anywhere even remotely close to the lead, they'd figure out a way to get his name on that leaderboard, even if we say 13 people, others yes. tied with mm-hmm. just Phil's name up there, right?
Right.
So, and I know Jim Nance and a lot of the CBS personnel there are very good friends with
yes.
Phil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made this even more alarming to me, or at least stand out in that regard. But yeah, he's been a loved CBS person
yes.
until this past week, and it was a big void, and it was disappointing because as viewers we felt that that was taken away from us. I mean, how many more times are we going to get to see Phil Mickelson do anything because of, number one, his status as it relates to the PGA Tour, but Father Time.
Yes.
I mean, even if he comes back next year to the Masters, or the year thereafter, is he going to finish 8-under? I don't think so. And we missed a chance to really see some great golf from Phil that would have been more representative of what we saw at Kiowa. And that was really the last time we saw the real Phil.
Yes. And like, think about it. When are we ever going to see, whether it's at a major or even on the LIV Tour, when True. Are we going to see Phil go 7-under again in a round? We probably never will see it again.
Yeah. And a credit to, though, Phil. He called this. He said, I know I'm close. I know I'm going to play yep. well. And sure enough, he did. That's a guy that's really in tune with not only his body, but his mental approach to the game. And I think Phil, since the remarks came out, you know, over a year ago, and his jump to LIV, and, you know, just going from the most beloved to, you know, basically being the arch enemy, if you will, took its toll mentally on him and his game. And I think this was a very significant week for Phil, and it will be interesting to see what not only Phil, but what Brooks, Patrick Reed, and a few of the others that all made the cut. I mean, Liv did well.
Yes.
And I have to say, you know, aside from John Rahm, Phil Mickelson and Liv, they really won this week.
Yes. I am right there with you. I think even with the performance of John Rahm, Liv won the Masters.
They did.
And you look at, there was a world where we could have had a 3 or 4 man playoff, and that playoff would have been dominated by Liv characters. You could have had a playoff with Koepka, Mickelson, Rahm. You could have had a playoff with Rahm or Mickelson, Rahm or Koepka. You could have even had Patrick Reed's name thrown into the mix as well. Like, those were the stars of the show. And I get that John Rahm was the one that ran away from this thing at the end. But when you look at that leaderboard and when you look at the big stories of what came out during the 4 days at Augusta, the story was Brooks and Brooks' revival. And is Brooks going to be relevant in the majors again? The story was Phil. The story was Phil Mickelson is back. And he can he go out and win one last major? Maybe even two. You brought up the whole father time issue. It looks like that. Who would have thought we'd be at this point and Phil Mickelson would be outlasting Tiger Woods?
Exactly. And
if you told me a year ago, after we had just seen Tiger make the cut at the Masters and Phil not participate in the event, who would come out on top a year from then? I would have said Tiger. I'm not saying Tiger would have blown him away, but it would have been a more of a question of would Phil even be in the event
exactly.
Next year?
Well, and it's funny, you take us back to that time last year, and you would have had a line a mile long making that bet that
yeah.
Tiger would be definitely in a far better place with his golf game, his mental approach, everything. And, you know, I keep going back to that double bogey that John Rahm made on the very first hole. Had it been the old John Rahm, we would have had a playoff between Phil and Brooks at 8 under.
Oh, boy.
Could you imagine that?
That would have been... I mean, if you're Greg Norman right now, your feet are kicked up and you're feeling pretty good about the product that you put on display at Augusta as well. And here's another reason why I feel like Liv won. Think about some of the names that didn't make the cut.
Exactly.
And like from the PGA Tour standpoint, you saw Rory not make the cut. You saw Justin Thomas implode down his final two holes in the first two rounds, and he doesn't make the cut. Tiger made the cut, but Tiger was never really the story of any of this. And then, of course, he bows out due to injury before his final round. So what really was the story of the Masters? Like, sure, John Rahm was great. Sam Bennett was fantastic, but even the Sam Bennett story sort of faded off towards the end when he was in one of those final pairings. And he kind of went off and ends up not finishing as well as we maybe would have thought. Like, you look at some of these players atop the leaderboard here, like Russell Henley, that's not a big name that's going to get the golf world buzzing. Like, some of these names at the top, like, it's a Liv-dominated field, sort of, when you look at the Patrick Reeds, the Brooks Koepkas, and the Phil Mickelsons. Those are the recognizable names that are sitting in the top 10.
Yeah, and it just so happens that, it, you know, with Phil, with Patrick, they've won, you know, they're past champions. Brooks, on the other hand, not a past champion, but has had the fortune of being able to play there a lot. So these guys are so, so good. And I know people said, oh, the Liv guys, they're not going to practice much. They have no incentive. They have a lot of incentive.
This is their incentive.
This is their incentive.
They may not care about their tour as much, but when they get the opportunity to play in these majors, boy, you're going to see some of these guys kick it into another gear. And I thought you brought up a good point last week in talking about how would they handle that fourth round, right?
Yep.
Because they haven't played the fourth round very often as of late. And listen, Brooks sort of fell off. Everyone else was pretty strong.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, and I think it's just Brooks being in a new place under a new set of scenarios and mental approaches and aspects that he's got to contend with. And only he knows whether his game is solid or it's holding on by duct tape and Band-Aids,
right,
which it kind of was, I guess, going into Sunday based on what we saw. But these guys can get themselves around Augusta on a lot of local knowledge. Now, when you go to Oak Hill or you go out to L.A. Country Club for the U.S. Opens and the PGA Championships, courses that aren't in a regular rotation per se or on an annual basis, this will really be a test for the LIV players.
Yes. It is going to be pretty intriguing there. Let's go on out to the phones. Jack is in Hilton Head Island. He's listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike and Tyler.
Hey, you're reporting in from Hilton Head, huh?
Can you hear me?
Uh-oh.
We've got a problem.
Might be an us problem here.
It could be a problem.
Jack,
on our...
Let's get you on hold right here. We'll try to figure out some of the tech specs here. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on into the conversation. We'll try to get all of that squared away. By the way, Jim Nugent from the Global Golf Post will join us at 9 to give his thoughts on the Masters and more from the world of golf. But yeah, just in terms of the LIV versus PGA Tour, I think it is. It was a LIV-dominated event. Even though the PGA Tour had the winner, boy, I'm intrigued to see what LIV's next ratings are going to look like. And just because of the success that they had, because they have not been good ratings so far, ever since they did move to the CW, but I'm intrigued to see what it looks like for the next batch of ratings that come out, because I think we will see a big spike.
I think so, but you know, it would have been really great, now that you look at the way they schedule things, is to have the next event in America.
Yeah.
They're going to be going to the other side of the world, which is, I think, is going to make it a little bit...
The time difference.
Time difference, yes. And a little bit less convenient for us to really flip it on and check it out. But I think, to your point, they're going to have some more curiosity and, you know, guys wanting to check this out. I mean, just to say, you know what? There was so much talk about it. I at least got to give it a chance.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we will get into a little bit more Masters talk as well and take all of your phone calls, 312-332-3776. Also, if you're heading on out to play today, hit us up and tell us where you're headed, because we would love to hear from you if you're on your way to go get in. Maybe it's your first round, maybe it's your fifth round of the year, maybe it's even more than that as well. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Don't forget, we'll be talking with Jim Nugent from the Global Golf Post coming up at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. We've been talking a lot of Masters with you. If you've got a thought, you want to chime in, you like what you saw, you didn't like what you saw from Augusta a week ago, 312-332-3776. We'll get to all of your calls in just a second here, but we've been talking a little bit about LIV versus the PGA Tour and just sort of who won. And you look at the top five, the top 10, and the leaderboard. To me, it's pretty hands down. Even though the PGA Tour had the winner of the event, I do think LIV Golf won the event, because you look at the names at the top. You look at some of the most recognizable names in that top 10, they are LIV dominated. And you look at like Jon Rahm, Jordan Spieth, those are names that people know. But you look at some of the other names that are in that sort of stratosphere in terms of the leaderboard, Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, that's a high Q rating right there. Even though they're on the LIV Tour, I do think that this crop of LIV players really, really showed something. and I think surprised a lot of people.
Well, if you just take the amount of major championships won by those three players, Mickelson, Koepka, and Reed, and add up the top 10 who finish in Augusta, and they by far have more majors than any of them. So, yeah, household names, they were. Now they've become kind of the villains. But you know what? That's exactly what made this must-watch TV. This is what drove up the ratings. And you know what? The PGA of America, the USGA, and the RNA are all licking their chops saying, boy, if we could get a little bit of what happened at Augusta at our events, that would be perfect utopia.
You think about it, too. Like, if you had asked me how many LIV guys would finish in the top 10, I would say maybe one, but I wouldn't feel confident about it, I don't think. And the fact that we get three in the top five?
Exactly.
Like, that's great theater right there.
I think, you know, Vegas, I think, had it at like 1.5, you know, that you think LIV players will finish in the top 10 or how many.
Right.
And, yeah, this was a shock to a lot of people in golf. And a lot of, I would have loved to have been on some of the meetings behind closed doors Thursday night, Friday night, especially Saturday night at Augusta.
Yep.
About how are we going to handle this or how are we going to handle that? And obviously, the Greencoats got to somebody at the CBS compound and said, this is what you will do, and this is what you will not do.
Yep. All right, let's try this again. Go on out to the phones. Jack in Hilton Head, home of the RBC Heritage. Jack, you got us?
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear us?
Tyler.
You got us?
Hello from sunny Hilton Head Island.
All right. So you can hear us okay, right?
I guess not.
Oh, no.
All right. We are going to put Jack back on hold there. We will try to tidy up the phone situation right now. But, yeah, you just looking through the leaderboard and everything that you kind of saw, it does feel like a live really came out on top. And it's good to have this sort of back and forth because, all right, what's the PGA Tour's next move? Because you know Jay Monahan can't be happy with how everything went down. Even though this is not a quote-unquote PGA Tour event, but you know that he probably feels a little embarrassed right now by all of this.
Sure. I mean, you know, you think you've got them right where you want them, and then they get away, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think what this has clearly demonstrated is that the four majors, given the decisions made by the governing bodies to allow LIV to play, they will have a stronger field than anything the PGA Tour will ever put out because they've banned all these guys. So you will have a huge discrepancy between the top four events and then the next best field, whether it's, you know, at a designated event or the Players' Championship. You know, aside from that, that's why these majors are going to be that much more hyper-focused because of what we just saw at Augusta. And we finally get to see all of the world's greatest come together to play against one another. And that, from a golf spectator fan perspective, is all we really want. And we get that with now next up the PGA Championship, then in June the U.S. Open, and then the British Open, or as they say over across the pond, the Open. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jay Monahan and the rest of the crew are scratching their head going, geez, what do we do next? And the only thing they can hope for is that ultimately time has these guys weeded out because they drop in the official ranking points or their exemptions begin to run out. You know, guys that have won the Masters, that will never go away. But, you know, when you win a major, you basically get about 5 years exemption into all the other majors. So when all these start to wear off, the amount of LIV players in the field are going to be reduced and reduced dramatically. But that time can't come fast enough as far as Jay Monahan is concerned.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the television ratings too, because they were through the roof. The Masters with a 5-year high for their ratings, thanks to the PGA Tour LIV showdown. I was a little surprised actually when I saw that it was a 5-year high. I know that Tiger, when he won in 2019, he was in the morning round because of weather. Everything was pushed up and whatnot. But still was a little surprised because even though, like, okay, we brought up Phil was at the top and he finishes in second, but he needed to shoot 7 under to finish in second. Like, he was way down the leaderboard before he made his Sunday charge there. I was surprised to see the ratings up where they were and hearing that it was a 5-year high for the event.
Likewise. And the reason I say that is when we were at COVID and we had the one Masters right. played in November,
yep.
I thought that thing would have been the all-time. But I was quickly reminded, and do you know where the number one most televised major is?
From
the Masters?
It was Tiger's first.
That's right.
Correct?
1997, 44 million wow. people. And this one had, what, an average of over 12?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that tells you just how significant the Tiger factor was back then. But I still cannot believe that it outperformed the first major or the Masters played in November mm-hmm. when most of the country's in pretty cold fall, heading to winter, you know, weather that
can't go outside and do anything.
Yeah, you can't really do much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, aside from maybe competing with the NFL, got it. But this was different.
Yeah.
And so, again, it just proves the theory that we love to have villains as part of the overall landscape of what we're doing and what we're watching, because there's nothing greater than sports.
Yeah. And like thinking about this too, like I kind of forgot how relevant and popular Brooks Koepka was. And yeah. I think this event really showed you just how beloved he is in the golf community and how much people enjoy watching him when he's at his best. Nobody likes the Brooks Koepka that you heard it from a year ago at the Masters. He gets cut and he's trying to punch through a Mercedes window, right? Nobody likes watching that iteration of Brooks Koepka. But the one that we got for 4 days at Augusta this year, people will tune in for that. And so, the ratings clearly reflected that.
No doubt. And, you know, Brooks marches to the beat of his own drum, I'll tell you. You know, and it's amazing as I watched his colleagues, the Phil Mickelsons and Patrick Reeds, wearing their logos, their team logos on the shirt. Brooks would have none of that. Brooks tried to return back to who Brooks was.
Yes.
You know, Mr. Nike, nothing else on my shirt. This is how I used to do it. And this is my mindset. And he tried to go back to the days of when Brooks was Brooks. And, you know, but I also think, again, Brooks suffering with a lot of those knee issues and battling the health issues, as we saw on the documentary Full Swing. You know, very contrite, very humble man, right? He comes to Augusta. Then all of a sudden, some of his interviews were the old Brooks again,
yep.
you know, short answers, kind of making the interviewer, or the person asking the question, feeling kind of dumb, mm-hmm. you know, with some of the questions that they were asking. And in some cases, rightfully so. But it was Brooks being Brooks again. And I found myself not liking him again. You know, I mean, I went from quickly feeling like I've got a lot of empathy for this guy. But then all of a sudden, he's like he's gone back to the way it used to be.
Right.
And that's what he wanted. But hiking those holes with that knee and with the injuries he's had, I got to believe it had to have something to do with the one over that he had in the third round, but officially the 3 over on Sunday. He just could not find it. He was out of sorts. And again, you know, playing 4 full rounds under this type of pressure, this type of scrutiny versus 54 at a shotgun start, you know, continental breakfast and the rest of it. You know, it's just, it's two different platforms. And we saw flashes of brilliance from Brooks, but at the end of the day, yeah, Mr. Rahm took him behind the shed and, you know, had his way with him and won.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we will take a look at what is going down at Harbortown right now in the RBC Heritage. We'll do all of that, including the conversation about Rory McIlroy, too. Not a part of this event. Meanwhile, John Rahm is a part of it. So we will do all of that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Segment brought to you by Tullamore Resort, the Experience a Michigan Masterpiece. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season here. We've been talking a lot of Masters today, but we do have an event going on right now, the RBC Heritage. You know what? Before we get there, though, let's try this one more time here. I'm trying to get these phones up
Third's
and running
charm.
Here.
All Third's right? a charm. Come on.
Jack, Hilton Head Island. Do you have us here, Jack?
Good morning, Mike and Tyler from sunny Hilton Head Island.
Can you hear us?
It's a beautiful day here today.
It is.
All right, we're going to try one quick...
Temperature's about 70 degrees.
We're going to try one quick thing here, Jack. I'm going to put you on hold. Let's try, let's see if Jake can get you up on the other side here. Can you hear us now, Jack? Do you got us?
Hello?
Can you hear us? Well, I guess it is just not meant to be.
It's not meant to be today. These phones are just triple bogeying left and right.
Yep. Unfortunately, we will try to get all that ironed out there. But let's just take a look at the leaderboard here of what's taking place. And I wish we could have Jack on here because he is down in Hilton Head Island giving us a little weather report right now. But from everything that I've seen on social media and the moments I've watched as well, a lot of pin hunting. There at Harbortown. Jimmy Walker is your three-stroke lead right now. He is 12 under. Then you've got a trio tied for second right now of Xander Schauffele, Justin Rose, Scottie Scheffler, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, Aaron Rye, and Mark Hubbard, and Tommy Fleetwood, all at 8 under. And to round out your top 10 here, a number of other golfers all in the tied for 10th here, including Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar, Emiliano Grillo, Jordan Spieth, all tied for 10th right now. John Rahm, your Masters champion, currently tied for 18th. He is 6 under, and there were some pretty interesting comments from John Rahm about why he is participating in the RBC Heritage, and he said, I want to play in these big events, and he's doing it for the kids who probably just saw him go win the Masters and think to themselves, oh, there's a chance John Rahm plays in this event coming up here, and he wants to fulfill that, make sure all the kids are able to see someone like that.
Well, yeah, he even said, I made a commitment, so I'm going to hold to my commitment. Mm-hmm. And that's refreshing because a lot of these guys, you know, they get burnt out, they win, they're exhausted, and they'll use that as the excuse as to why they don't think they need to show up and disappoint not only the sponsors, the network, the kids, all his fans. And so he did the right thing. And I just hope after John Rahm wins his 10th major, he still lives by this code.
Yes.
It's awesome that he did this. And I think, you know, the golf gods are going to treat him accordingly this weekend, whether he wins or not. But he has come back. He's, you know, he's factoring into this thing. Now, will he be a major factor? You know, today and tomorrow will tell. But, yeah, he's at where I think is one of the great golf courses that the tour gets to play is at Harbortown.
Yeah,
it is one of their favorites year in and year out.
Looks great on television.
Oh, and I'll tell you, some of the smallest greens. Only Pebble Beach has smaller greens than Harbortown. 3,700 square feet is the average of these things. You mix that up with a little bit of moisture that they've been having down there, and these guys can fire darts, and they'll make a lot of birdies on this course if you're hitting it straight there, because it's like, it's narrow. It is so narrow. The golf course is not exceptionally long by PGA Tour standards whatsoever, but if your iron game is not on par, you're going to have a very, very tough day at Harbortown, and you're going to spend a lot of time in the sand, for sure.
Mm-hmm. One player that did not participate is Rory McIlroy, and as a result, he will be forfeiting $3 million as a result of the PIP, the Player Impact Program, that was set up a couple of years ago. And it's based on a couple of things, including playing in designated events, your social media influence. You heard it last week. Colin Morikawa talked about it when they were talking about his rules, potential infraction. And they said, oh, like a lot of people are tweeting about this. It's big on social media. And you heard Colin Morikawa say, hey, good, keep tweeting. Like, that's good for my PIP. But this is something that no Rory in this event. Obviously, a frustrating finish last week, not making the cut. But sometimes you see these players that don't make the cut at the Masters end up having a lot of success. Last year, Jordan Spieth wins it. He missed the cut at the Masters, and he ends up having the success right shortly thereafter.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, $3 million to Rory McIlroy is probably like $20 to you and I. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So for him, obviously his mental game, probably physically. I mean, as I mentioned last week, when he made the walk from the ninth hole to the 10th tee on his second round, he just looked like a man that was severely beaten down. And he looked exhausted. He looked, you know, physically and mentally just exhausted and just wanted to get out of Augusta. And I think this is his time to sort of, you know, rein in the troops. Let's figure this thing back out and let's reset ourselves for the rest of the season. Because there are three more majors, but I got to tell you, Rory, I think, is making this personal Grand Slam something bigger than what it really is. And I think for him, he's his own worst enemy when it comes now to the Masters. And I think he's only going to make it tougher as each year goes in, putting that additional pressure on himself that the rest of the golf world has already put on him as hopeful to, you know, win that personal Grand Slam for his own career. And I know that's a very, very important thing to him in terms of his own accomplishments. He may not be as focused on trying to beat Jack in the number of majors or has a predetermined number. He just wants that Grand Slam.
Yep. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. When we come back, I want to get into, you know, we've got a beautiful day here in Chicago. Number of people going to be getting into some of their rounds, maybe for the first time this year, but some of your pet peeves on the course as well. We'll do that when we come back here. CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.